stories return. We have carols, lights, movies, traditions, and endless amounts of Hallmark movies, right? I know you've already started. And tucked inside one of those Christmas classics, I believe we see a moment that captures the very heart of the Advent season in a very surprisingly and profound way. How many of you all remember the TV special from 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Some of you all were live. Some of you have watched it. You watched it live. But there's in the middle of that store, we find ourselves, the main characters are on the island of Misfit Toys. They're on the island of Misfit Toys. And on this island is a place where all these toys that are not living out the function they were designed to live, right? They were kind of just castaways, a train with square wheels, a bird that swims instead of flies, a cowboy who for some reason rides an ostrich. They're quirky, they're charming, but clearly they are out of place. And even though they smile and they sing, every toy on the island is asking the same question that reveals a very much a heartache. Is there anybody who wants us? Is there a place where we belong? Is there good news for somebody like me? And then one day, the misfits are found, right? They are not forgotten after all. The story doesn't end in obscurity because a rescuer comes. We all know the rescuer is. Yeah. No one said Jesus. No, we're still talking about Rudolph here, all right? But this scene resonates with many of us and many people around the world because even as adults, many of us will feel like we are ones who don't quite fit. Like maybe we don't measure up, that we don't belong in the room or somewhere along the way, we just seem different in ways that we're not really sure others will ever understand. And we wonder if there's any good news meant for us, if hope could ever reach our story. And when we open up our Bible to the very first Christmas story, the very first night of Christmas, we discover that that ache of the misfit toys is the ache that is immediately met by the story of Jesus. The fear of being overlooked is right here in the story. It's exactly where God shows up first. And notice, though, that God does not announce the birth of Jesus in a palace or a temple. Where does he announce it? In the fields of shepherds. He announces it to shepherds, the overlooked, the underestimated, the outsiders. That's the very first note of the Christmas song when we hear the angels sing, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." See, Advent doesn't start and begin with the impressive. It begins with the ordinary, the unnoticed, and the misfits. And here's the tension at the heart of the very Christmas story. We often forget that the good news is for all people. Now, that's not something you ever say out loud, right? Most of us will never say out loud, but our lives can easily drift into a version of faith in Christianity that quietly narrows the circle. Good news for people who act like us. Joy for people who fit into our world. Hope for people who are already nearby. Grace for people who clean up well. And before we ever realize it, the gospel becomes something that's comfortable for us but unreachable for others. But we forget the angels did not say good news of great joy for those who are already here in the club. He said good news of great joy for who? A little more confident. Good news for great joy for all people. But as we said, the problem is that many people today, just like the misfit toys, are still wondering, is there good news for someone like me? Would God want anything to do with my life? Does joy have a place in my story? And if the church quietly excludes the very people heaven included first, then we have lost the mission of Advent. The main thing I want you to hear today is that the angels announce great joy for all people, so the church must carry great joy for all people. See, if God aimed the first Christmas announcement at shepherds, the misfits, the outcasts of the ancient world, then our calling is clear. We carry joy to the overlooked. We carry hope to the hurting and the broken. We carry good news to those who wonder if that good news is meant for them. That's the mission of Christmas. So today we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It's a familiar story. You ever watched Charlie Brown Christmas special? You've heard it right there. Starting in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for who? All the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." Verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. We're going to look deeper into the story, but I think it shows three truths that I want us to walk through today. The first truth is that the gospel starts at the margins. Shepherds were not socially elite. Right? They were outcasts. They were not spiritual professionals. They had no influence on society. They were unclean, undervalued, unknown, and they smelled like sheep. Right? They lived on the edges of society. Even their testimony was not accepted in court. And yet, God chose to shine his spotlight that night in a field full of shepherds. And this fits a pattern woven throughout Scripture. We see God choosing David the shepherd, not the tall brothers. God works through Ruth the Moabite, the outsider. God calls Moses, who is a fugitive. God sends prophets to widows, foreigners, and the forgotten. And that tells us something very profound, is that God regularly starts where you and I would never look, ever think to look. And if God starts with the forgotten, then God's people must start where he starts. So the first truth is that gospel starts at the margins. The second truth is that the gospel brings great joy. The angels did not say, "I bring you a brand new set of rules," or "I bring you a new program," "I bring you a new 21 steps to a better life," "I bring you religious pressure." The angels say, "Good news of great joy." Jesus does not bring shame or condemnation. Jesus does not bring fear. Jesus does not bring exhaustion. Jesus brings joy. If the gospel we preach and carry and model does not lead people to joy, that deep soul-level joy, then we are preaching the gospel that heaven did not announce. Right? The good news of Jesus is to deliver people to a spirit of joy. And Christmas confronts the lie that God is disappointed, distant, or even disinterested. The angels announce that he came to bring a kingdom of joy. So the first truth is the gospel starts in the margins. The second is that the gospel brings great joy. The third is that the gospel sends us out. After meeting Jesus, the shepherds do something surprising. They leave, they go, and they share. Verse 17 says, they spread the word concerning what had been told them, and look what happens. All who heard it were amazed. The first evangelists in the Gospel of Luke are a bunch of shepherds. Misfits become messengers. Outsiders become missionaries. The overlooked carry the overwhelming joy of heaven. Why? Because joy is always meant to be on the move. It's designed to travel. Joy becomes contagious when it is shared. And we need to remind ourselves that we are not the destination of the good news. We are only conduits of it to others. Right? We are part of its journey to someone else's life. So as you navigate the coming days, the holiday season, Christmas season, Advent, the angel's announcement becomes our assignment. Good news of great joy for all people. I don't know about you, when I hear all people, that seems very abstract. Y'all know how many people are in the world today? We're at 8 billion now. That's insane. 8 billion people. All right, so go spread the good news of great joy to 8 billion people, go. Right? Seems intimidating. So let's make it more personal. Let's go from the 30,000-foot view to the person you're sitting across from, that personal interaction that you have every single day. Every single person here has that one person, that one person in their life who is close to you but far from God. You know who it is. God's already put him on your heart and on your mind today. Maybe it's a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, a friend, maybe your own child, someone who might never step inside a church on their own, someone who quietly wonders to themselves, is there good news for someone like me? This Advent, the season we're in, God is inviting you to carry that joy of great joy, good news, to your one. Not just to talk about Christmas, but to become shepherds in someone else's story. Just like the shepherds, you don't have to be polished, right? You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't even have to preach a sermon or fix anyone else's life, because you know what? He can't even fix yours. You simply have to be a person who's willing and able to bring joy, to bring hope, to bring your presence, and to bring love. Maybe that's a text or a meal or another meal, a conversation, an invitation, a prayer, a simple act of kindness that whispers, God sees you. God's not forgotten you, and good news came for you. Because you're one, that person in your life, might feel like they're living on their own island of misfit toys, wondering if they belong to anywhere, wondering if they belong to anyone. And they're all wondering if hope could ever reach their story. And I want to pause, because if today you might realize that that person we're talking about might be you. You may be the one who feels like the misfit on the outside, longing for hope. I want you to hear this clearly today, that Jesus came for you. He did not come for a more polished version of you. He did not come for your future self. He came for you right here where you are today. Despite your flaws, despite the mess, Jesus came and entered into that mess, just as you are today. And the gospel is really rather simple. We're the ones who say we believe it. We're the ones who complicate it. The gospel is simply this, that God created a good and beautiful world designed for you to have a good and beautiful life, one that's shaped by love, one by his presence, where you are in daily presence with him, living out his purposes for your life. But like every one of us, you have felt the weight of sin, the choices, the patterns, the desires that pull us away from God and leaves you carrying shame and regret and a sense that something inside of us is fractured. And you're like, yes, inside of us, but also on the outside of us. The world around us is fractured and broken. But so are we. And that brokenness is not just something that we live in. It's something we experience. And listen, no amount of self-help, no amount of effort or willpower can heal what sin has damaged. But God refused to leave us in that place. God refused to leave you in that place today. Jesus stepped into your brokenness, into our broken world for you to live a life that you could not live yourself, taking your sins to the cross and rising again so that you could be forgiven, restored, redeemed, and made new. If you will turn to him and say, I want to follow Jesus, and choose to place your hope and trust in him and embrace him, you lose the grip of sin in your life and begin the steps of healing and purpose and wholeness that God designed for us. And you can begin to live out his life for him. This invitation is to you. You don't have to earn his love. You don't have to perform your way into his presence. You simply need to receive what he's already offered to you. So if your heart is stirring today, if something in you is whispering, this good news might actually be for me, everyone here will say, it is for you. It's for all people, including you. All you need to do is trust him. And trust him. The shepherds did not stay by the manger. Right? They took their joy to the world around them. And just like the shepherds, God may be sending you to carry good news into their field. The angels announced great joy for all people, so the church must carry great joy to all people. So this Advent season, are you going to be somebody who carries that great joy? Are you going to be one who reaches out to that person in your life who's close to you but far from God? And what are you willing to do to bring them to Jesus? Because the good news does not end with us. The good news is to be for who? All people. So two questions I want to leave you with today. Lord, who is my one? Right? Who is that person who is close to you but far from God? Again, it may be somebody in your inner circle of your family or someone you work with or someone you have coffee with, somebody you play pickleball with or whatever y'all do. I don't know what hobbies you got. That person, you know who it is. You've been spending life with them, sharing life with them. Are you willing to be a recipient of joy and to be a deliverer of joy to them? Who is your one? The second, how can I carry that great joy and good news towards them this season? Again, you don't have to have it all figured out. All you got to do is live a life that's been radically shifted and changed and transformed by the grace of Jesus and to begin to live it out and show it. Because someone in your life needs to know this good news of Advent, and God may be sending you out to their field. Let me pray and spend some time in prayer together, and then worship team will come back up. Father God, we come to you today in celebration that good news has come. The good news came that night when your son Jesus took his first breath. And then when his eyes opened on this world, so all of heaven opened up as your heavenly host screamed, "Hallelujah," and glory in the highest. As heaven and earth were colliding for a moment. And God, we look at that story and we say, thank you that good news has come. And for all of us who have been transformed and changed by that good news, I pray that we don't lose sight of it. That we are radically shaped by that love and that good news in such a way that we become carriers of that. Because God, that's what you've designed us from the beginning, to carry your name into this world. We are the ones who block out your name on our lives. We are the ones who don't carry that image. But God, you have blessed us in an amazing and abundant way through your son Jesus. And I pray that today we begin to take a step outwards to show the world around us that your son Jesus has come. God, for those of us in the room today who do not yet know you, my prayer is for them that your grace and your love and your majesty are so compelling that the sin and brokenness of this world seems so dull in comparison, that they cling to you, that they run to you, and maybe for the first time say, I trust you as my Lord and as my King. And that the good news of the gospel begins to take root in their lives as it begins to transform them from the inside out, not making them perfect today, but making them a new person, a new creation, and every single day afterwards, looking more like you and less like themselves. And God, as we celebrate this Christmas season, as we celebrate the Thanksgiving season this week, may every single person in this room have the opportunity today to tell somebody how good and amazing you are, what you've done in our lives, what you've done for the world, because good news has come for all people. I pray that someone today hears that good news because of the faith and the love that is in this space, in this room. Thank you for this amazing body of believers gathered here today to worship you and celebrate you. Thank you that we can sing, that we can celebrate your son Jesus. But I pray that it does not end here. That we don't see ourselves as the destination, that we see ourselves as the message carriers to the world. And that all of Clarksburg and Bridgeport and all of Harrison County would be radically changed because of the people here today. It's in your son's redeeming name we pray. Amen. So as they come up and sing another song, if you want to spend time in prayer, I know I would love to pray with you if you want to pray. I know people around the room would love to pray with you as well.